as has been announced, we have several who are away, several who are sick. And so let's remember all of them in our prayers and keep them in our thoughts and in our hearts as we go through the week. This evening I want to talk about, as you see the title of the lesson in front of you, Marks of Maturity, are subtitled Signs or Indications that You Are Growing in the Lord. We expect children to grow. One of the great blessings of being in the local place for a number of years is seeing the children grow up. We lived for long enough in Minnesota. We had a number of young couples, and we saw those young couples bringing children into the world, and then we saw the children growing up. Some of them we have seen go off to college. Some of them we have seen getting married, having their own families, and starting their own families. And that's a great blessing, especially when they're faithful to the Lord. When I moved here, Levi was just a little boy. He's not here tonight, but Levi was just a little boy. And his younger brother Mason was not yet even born. Time passes, doesn't it? 16, 17 years later, Levi is a young man that we're all very proud of. We see children grow up and mature and develop. And we expect that. We want that. We enjoy seeing that, but we expect. We would worry about them if they weren't growing up, if they weren't maturing and developing. And so as we see the growth of children, we expect that they'll grow physically in size and in weight. If a child is born and after a month or two they're not growing, we worry about them. Something's wrong. They need to be growing. They develop in their motor skills, in their coordination. Amazing little babies, you can't play catch with them for a while, that haven't got those skills figured out yet. But over time, what a joy when the grandchildren can catch and throw the ball back to you. Language development, emotional maturity, logical thinking skills, social interaction, all these things are areas where we see children growing and developing. We're told by 18-month-old, here's some kind of indications of a child's growth, what you can expect of them at different ages. And of course, children vary. Some are not at this stage and some are beyond this stage at these ages. But 18-month-olds can walk, can possibly walk up steps or run, can squat and pick up a toy, can pull toys while they are walking, drink from a cup, eat from a spoon, stack two objects or blocks on top of each other. I pull that off the internet. Surprise, surprise. I am not an expert in child development and raising children. But from the internet, that's what I got at 18 months. At 3 to 4 years, they can say their name and age usually. They can speak 250 to 500 words. That's more than me. They can answer simple questions, correctly name familiar colors, remember parts of a story, kick, throw, and catch a ball. Well, child development experts would say these are the kinds of things, not necessarily 100% in every child, but these are the kind of things that you kind of target and start looking for. If they're developing normally, if they are growing and maturing normally, as you would expect a child to do. Well, in the same way, God expects His children to grow. He doesn't expect us to be born into our spiritual family and then just stay the same. Stay the same level of knowledge as the day when we were baptized into Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow, Peter says, but grow. That's a command, imperative. It's not a suggestion. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same author earlier in the book, chapter 2, that should have been 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. That was 2 Peter 3:18. And 1 Peter 2, the previous book before that, chapter 2, 1 and 2, therefore putting away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, put these things away. This is an indication of growth when we begin to put away sin, put away these attitudes, put away things that we did and the attitudes we had before we were children of God. But he says, put away these things like newborn babes, long for this pure milk of the word, that by it ye may grow in respect to salvation. And so put away these things, put away the old things, put away the sinful things, and grow and develop like newborn babes. We're going to talk about longing for the truth, longing for the milk of the word more in just a moment. But that's what he wants for us. Ephesians chapter 4, as a result, we are no longer children. He's talking about the role of apostles. This morning we mentioned in this same context, the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. He says later in that context that we no longer be children. What's the purpose of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? The purpose is that we grow up, that we grow and mature in our knowledge and in our ability to do more and more for the Lord. That we be no longer children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but the trickery of men by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. And so as a result, we are no longer children. Don't be spiritual children, but mature and develop and grow up. Grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head. And so four marks of spiritual maturity that we can kind of gauge our growth by maybe looking at these things. The first is growth in knowledge. Marks of maturity, number one, growth in knowledge. A child is constantly learning. And we're sometimes amazed at what they learn. We're sometimes amazed at the things that come out of their mouths. They grow and they develop and they're learning all the time. That's one of the scary things about being a parent or a grandparent is to realize how much they are absorbing, how much that they are watching, how much that they are learning, how much they are imitating your attitudes, imitating your words, imitating the things that you do. And so it's a great lesson for us. It's also a great responsibility for us as we live and before this child that is growing up. But the children are constantly learning. They're constantly observing. We expect them to grow. We want them to grow, and we expect them to grow. We know that a child in the third grade should know more than they had learned when they were in the first grade. And when they get to the sixth grade, they should know more than what they knew when they were in the third grade. That's a normal pattern of growth and development of the child. And the same is true of God's people. Our growth in knowledge should be constant. We should be constantly growing. We should never be satisfied. We studied recently in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. We finished in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. And so we're to give diligence. It's a strong word. Doing something diligently, putting attention to it, putting effort towards it, giving diligence. Why? Why? Because we understand as God's people, it's nothing new to this audience, that thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light to my path, to thy path. God's word is a lamp. God's word is a light. God's word shows us the way. And so we need to give diligence to it. So we ask the question, do we have a burning desire for God's truth? Do we have a... I think we all know the first point. The first point is one that we have talked about so many times, we probably don't even need to mention it. And that is, we come to knowledge, we increase in our knowledge through God's word, through the truth of God's word. I think this audience understands that. We learn God's word, we know God's word, we increase in knowledge. The value of God's word should be obvious to us. But maybe the more practical question for us is, do we still have that burning desire? Do we still have that burning desire? When I was a kid, I loved basketball. I loved basketball. And I played basketball every day. My dad did not have to hold a gun to my head and say, go out and practice basketball. I loved basketball. And when we moved to a new place, I couldn't wait until he got a new basketball goal put up outside. Every place we moved, he put up a new basketball goal so I could shoot right outside and didn't have to go to the park or school or somewhere. And I would shoot and I would shoot and I would shoot. I would shoot till my fingers got raw. In the dry California air, my fingers would crack from playing so much and the air being so dry. And I'd have to doctor them and put that tough skin stuff on them to help them to heal. Why was that? Did someone make me practice? No, I just loved basketball. I just loved basketball. And maybe there was something in your life like that, something that you just loved and you just couldn't get enough of it. It may be gardening. You just may love to see the flowers grow. And that's a good thing. Or maybe you love something else, cooking or something. You just like playing around with new recipes. It's just something that you enjoy doing it. And you go on the internet to find new recipes and you talk to people about new recipes. It's just a burning desire you have to cook. No pun intended about burning desire to cook. Did y'all get that? See? Do we have a burning desire for God's word? Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I realize that this, I believe, and my understanding is, this hungering and thirsting after righteousness is more than just hungering and thirsting after God's word. It is a hungering and thirsting after being righteous and being what God wants us to be. But that comes from God's word. That comes from the knowledge of God's word. And if I really hunger and thirst after something, I'm going to go to the source that's going to be able to help me to know more about that subject. And if I want to be righteous and I want to be what God wants me to be, I'm going to go to the source. I'm going to go to the scriptures and I'm going to go into them often. Are we Mary or are we Martha? We should want to be Mary, shouldn't we? You remember the story from Luke chapter 10. We don't have to turn over and read it. This audience knows that story. Where Mary and Martha, Jesus has been invited into the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, brothers and sisters. And Martha's running around getting everything ready. Martha was a good woman. She was a fine woman. She was a godly woman. She cared about spiritual things. But there's a contrast here. And Martha's concerned about the serving and the food and the preparation and the hospitality. Not a bad thing to be concerned about, but she's consumed with that. But Mary's consumed with listening to the Lord and sitting there at his feet. And Martha comes in and Martha says, Lord, tell Mary to help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things, but she, Mary, has chosen the better part. Nothing wrong with being hospitable. Hospitality is a good thing. We should share with one another. But Jesus was teaching what Mary had chosen was better. Do we have the burning desire? And if we haven't, if we've lost it, maybe we need to rekindle that in our lives. Secondly of all, marks of the ability to discern right from wrong. Little children don't know that a stove is hot. And so you have to keep them away from the stove. The toddler gets to walking around and not realizing that the stove top is hot, and they reach up there and they burn themselves. And so you have to watch them in the kitchen that they just don't know. They're curious, but they can't discern certain things yet. And teens, when they first start driving, don't have any idea about some things. One of them is how slick the roads can get when it first starts to rain. Now, after the roads get really good and washed off, it's not so bad. But you know what it's like when the roads have been wet with oil and grease and stuff, and it starts to rain, and that mixture of oil and water can make them very, very slick, and you have to slow down. I slid off a road in Mississippi one time. And part of the reason was that it just started to rain and the roads were slick. Of course, the tires were bald too, and that didn't help anything. But kids don't know that unless you tell them. They don't have the knowledge of some of those things about driving. College students don't know what poison ivy is oftentimes, unless they are raised in the country and know what poison ivy is. I had some good friends when I was in college, and they were going to decorate Sutton Hall, the nice dorm where the female students lived, and it was one of the big to-dos of the fall, and they decorated the walkway, the stairway from upstairs of Sutton down to the lower floor where the girls were going to walk down and meet their dates on that night, and they decorated it with poison ivy. They didn't know what it was. They thought it was pretty, and they collected it down by the river, the Hillsborough River at the college, and they put it all over the place. And the girls that collected it, not knowing what it was, they were in bad shape. They were in bad shape. Two or three of them were really in bad shape. They didn't know. They didn't have the ability to discern poison ivy from something else that was harmless. And children have that problem sometimes, but we as adults, when we first obey the gospel, oftentimes they need to grow in their ability to discern good and evil. Now, Paul was chastising some in the book of Hebrews because they had not grown as they should have. And he says in Hebrews 5, "For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. By the study of God's word and the guidance of those who are older and more mature in the faith and the teaching of God's word, we can come to know God's word, we can mature in God's word, and we can discern and be discerning to learn some things from the principles that are taught in God's word. Not everything in God's word is a thou shalt and thou shalt not. There are certain things that are just clearly taught. Paul says, flee fornication. Stay away from it. That's clear. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not cheat. Do not steal. Some things are explicitly, clearly stated. Other things are taught to us by principles. And so, the Bible doesn't specifically tell a woman about the length of her dresses. How long is long enough? How short is too short? How tight is too tight? How low is too low in revealing? But there are principles. The Bible does not tell you the specifics, but the principles are there. The principles of dress and modesty are there. The Bible does not specifically tell us that gambling is sinful. The Bible does not tell us specifically that internet pornography is sinful. The Bible does not tell us that certain kinds of dancing is sinful. And yet there are principles, I believe, there are principles in all three of these as we study God's word, principles that as we mature and as we grow, and with social drinking, principles that when we mature and we grow and we apply the principles of God's word, wanting to be what God wants us to be, there are things that we will put away, that we will put away. And so it's not my course tonight to talk about the specific of those things, but you understand the principle involved. Number three, marks of maturity. A third mark of maturity is the strength to withstand trials and challenges. We want our children to grow up and develop mentally and physically and emotionally. We try to prepare our kids and help our kids. We know there's going to be trials. We know children at school are going to tease them or make fun of them. There's going to be disappointments. They're not always going to win. They're not always going to make the team. They're not always going to be the best in everything. I know our little our little geniuses, when they leave home, think they're just the smartest because we've told them how smart they are all along the way. But now they get to school and realize they're not the smartest. There's somebody else that makes better grades than they are, than they are doing. And so we have to teach them. No, you're not always going to be. It doesn't matter what someone else does. We teach them the principles and we encourage them and we help them, and they're going to be disappointed. And sometimes there's going to be a relationship disappointments. They're going to like some boy and the boy's not going to like them back. Or the girl's going to have a crush on them and they're not going to have a crush on them. And there's going to be hurts and there's going to be hard feelings. And there's going to be development and growth and harm, challenges to their little spirits. We understand that. This is life. But in the same way that with our children have to withstand trials and challenges and maturing, and so sometimes there are spiritual disappointments. And one mark of maturity is to be able to withstand those spiritual disappointments and not give up. And not give up. I've known of people who have left the Lord because of some disappointment. An elder or a deacon or a preacher does something he should not do, and that sin comes to light, and people leave the Lord. My mom's gone blank right now, but if I could call her name, there was a sister here at Lakeland when I first started preaching here that has now gone on to her reward. Gracie. We've forgotten already. Sister Gracie Sexton. Grace Sexton. I'll never forget Grace Sexton. I'll never forget what she said one time. Her faith was solid. Her faith depended. This is a little bit different point. But someone was unhappy with this congregation and left. And they were trying to convince Gracie to leave. And Gracie said, "I didn't come with you. I'm not leaving with you." I love that. Your disappointments, your discouragements, whatever you have for reason for leaving are not mine. I didn't come with you, and I'm not leaving with you. And that's right. She was a mature Christian, a child of God. And so there's going to be trials. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be things that go on. Jesus warned us about persecutions and trials. And again, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. "Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Jesus said, blessed are you when these things happen. They persecuted the prophets and they'll persecute you. He later tells his disciples, "They persecuted me, they'll persecute you." And so he prepared us. He tried to prepare us with a tough skin for persecutions. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "All who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." There's going to be trials. And there's going to be disappointments. We just recently studied in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where Paul, undoubtedly, he must have been disappointed at Demas. It must have broke his heart. There he is sitting in a prison. Demas, who had been faithful to him and faithful to the Lord. Demas, he says, "Forsook me, having loved this present world." People are going to disappoint us sometime. But people aren't the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, our Father in heaven, will never disappoint. Our God will always be there. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, God says to Jeremiah, "They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you." Jeremiah would be hated. Jeremiah would be persecuted. And we see as that book develops, God tells them, "They will fight against you and they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." I'm here to take care of you. And I will take care of you. You just trust in me, Jeremiah. Romans 8, the famous passage. We're not going to turn and read it tonight, but Romans 8, 31 through 39. Who can separate us from the love of God? Can tribulation or anguish or famine or anything in this life? Any spiritual adversaries, dominions, principalities, angels, demons, can anything separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So he gives us the means by which we can overcome, leaning on him, his strength, his teaching, his word. Be strong. Trust in him. There's going to be disappointments. Don't forget where the source of your strength is. And lastly, the ability to receive correction properly is a mark or a sign or an indication of maturity. As children grow up, they have to learn that they don't know everything. They need to learn how to listen, to receive correction. They need to be teachable. Sadly, some of them never learned the lesson. When our son JD was a little tyke, well, he wasn't super little. He was old enough to play basketball in a little league when he was about, I don't know, how old was he? 12, 10, 9, 9. Becky remembers the ages. I never remember the ages. Now, our JD was never very athletic. He'd rather be playing the piano, but we thought he needed some exercise, so we signed him up for this basketball league, and I signed up as the coach to spend time with him, and I was coaching the boys, and there were some boys one day, and I was trying to teach them how to shoot the basketball better. And they didn't want to listen. They never would listen. They already knew how to do it. They were lousy shots, but they were still refusing to listen to the coach, someone that might be able to help them. Some don't want to learn because they think they already know how to do something. We need to be humble. And the ability to receive correction, it's not easy receiving correction. We don't like being told that we're wrong. We don't like being told that we are in sin. We don't like being told and being corrected. It hurts our pride sometimes. And with children, sometimes it hurts their pride. But when they learn to be teachable, I remember my high school basketball coach talking about a young man one time that he coached. And the boy came to him and said, "Coach, what do I need to do?" And coach told him, and he went and did those things. And then he came back again. "Coach, what do I need to do?" "No, well, you need to work on this now." "Coach, come. Well, coach, what do I need to do?" And before you know, he was a star. He's the best player on the team. Why? Why? He was coachable. He wanted to do what the coach wanted him to do. He wanted to get better. He knew the coach could help him get better instead of thinking he already knew everything about basketball. We need to learn to receive instruction. And so Amos said in Amos chapter 5, "They hate him that reproveth in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly." Some people don't like correction. They don't like the one that comes and reproves in the gate. James says in James chapter 1, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." James is teaching us to grow and mature. We need to receive God's word with meekness, with gentleness. Really, that word carries a combination of strength and gentleness. Receiving it. Listening, being willing to hear, being willing to be humble. And if we'll be humble and we will listen to what God says to us with an open mind and an open heart, realizing we don't know everything already, if we will receive with meekness the implanted word, it will lead to our salvation. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Why is faithful the wounds of a friend? If you're humble enough to listen, it may hurt. It may hurt. The correction may hurt. But if you will listen, they are faithful. They are helpful. Paul said to the Galatians, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, no. We should be. It hurts sometimes when we're told the truth. But we should be thankful that someone loves us and cares enough. Proverbs 12. "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he that hates correction is stupid." That's putting it pretty bluntly, isn't it? He that hates correction is stupid. Psalm 141:5, "Let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it." David was saying, or the author was saying, if a righteous man strikes me, if he corrects me, if he shows me my error, it is a kindness. If he rebukes it, it's like oil on my head. It's a benefit to me. It's a blessing to me. Proverbs 15, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5, it's better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Another mark of maturity. True maturity in the Lord is being willing to listen. Whether it's to a brother or sister that's trying to help us, whether it's to the preaching of a preacher or Bible class teacher, whether it's to our wife or to our from our wife or from our husband, whether it's from someone else, or whether it's from God's word. Let us have an open heart and an open mind. Let us grow and mature and develop like God wants us to be. Well, the lesson is yours. Open your songbooks this evening to the song that's been selected, number 347, and we will sing a song of encouragement. Are you willing to receive correction? Are you willing to receive correction tonight? Are you aware that you have needed correction and you've known it all along? You've known there's something wrong in your life. You've been trying to ignore it, but you know you need help with it. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ and need to obey the gospel of Christ, that opportunity is available this evening. Or if you've been not listening to the voices in your head as you read from God's word, reminding you of your responsibility and your duty, and you haven't been doing your duty, and you want the prayers of the saints at this place to help you and encourage you, then you can also let that be known while together we stand and while we sing.